Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Don't let your troubles make you cry. Don't waste a moment wondering why. When everything goes wrong,
when everything goes wrong,
you have to go on.
You have to go on.
And do it or die.
And do it or die. That's your mantra, small business owners. As Atlanta Rhythm Section, they were singing your anthem long before when they didn't know that's what they were doing. But that's the words. I know you think about that all the time. I know you've heard me say, whenever things get you down, when things are against you, I always say, no, this is no hill for a climber, and I'm a climber. And I know that's what you do every day, small business owners. That's the reason why I do what I do, what I have done, what I do, have done for the last 23 years. And somebody who's been an awesome supporter, an amazing source, a true mentor for me in the world of trust, our good friend Dr. Arke Chiancute, and Built on Trust, folks. If you can find that book, I promise you, I don't care what it costs, you got to buy it because it will change your life. Arke, thanks again for being here. You want to talk today about something we haven't talked a lot about before, and that's the impact of victimization on trust. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, a victim, of course, a victim describes all of us in one way. Let's say you've got a problem that you require some resources for. You've got to go to upper management, just as an example, or even a partner management, and you can't get it done. You try once, you try a couple of times. It seems like you can't get it done. Now, you're still not a victim. You're just everybody. That happens to us all the time.
Right.
But there's an opportunity there. Here's how you can tell if you're becoming a victim. When you talk to your peers about it, which, of course, we're going to do, all of us, there's going to be two kinds of conversations there. It's an option. One is, and you can tell this about yourself, are you trying to get this person to agree with you about what a big problem or a terrible problem or trouble A or B? Are you trying to get the person to help you solve the problem?
Mm-hmm.
When we commiserate over a grievance and there's an unconscious or conscious attempt to get our peers to agree with us about how bad our grief, at that point we're at risk of becoming a victim. And then, of course, you can get, like we call it, the coffee room buzz, but you can get a group there that is cohesive, which we all want to be, but based on a grievance.
Right.
That is, it's a great opportunity, but until you harvest that opportunity, it's victim talk,
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to move until something major changes.
And this is the thing. This is the thing that everybody needs to realize, male and female. When you have a problem, you don't want to manage the problem. You don't want to just talk about it. You need to shoot it between the eyes. You need to get it off your plate. You need to get it off your desk. You need to turn it into a solution, an opportunity, or you need to get it the hell out of your life.
That's right.
Because it's costing you money. It's costing you time. It's encroaching. It's impinging on your success.
And other people who become part of this commiseration ring, the temptation is
mm-hmm.
to jump into that habit themselves. So it can spread, and it can spread rapidly. And it's not that these are bad people. This is you and I. But it's caught up in a habit that is anti-trust and anti-productivity, and that can spread rapidly. And so the problem becomes the focus, not the potential solution. That's the difference.
Well, for example, if you got a team of people who something in the company is not productive, it's not working very well, instead of coming up with solutions, instead of putting your heads together and thinking of something you can take to the decision maker, all you do is mully grub about it all the time. Then what you're doing is you're eroding trust. Because if I had a company that I had a team out there who knew we had a dysfunctional policy or program, and nobody was telling me about it for whatever reason. It's my fault or their fault. Then that's dysfunctional. That's the opposite of trust. How can I trust you to be on my front line if you won't tell me about these things, right?
Yes, and that's another signpost. When there's somebody or some function or some department to blame, so that becomes a target, and people and departments can develop a reputation they don't even know about, at least at first. Of course, the rumors will tell, but so that's another signpost when we're finding somebody or some department to blame. So, of course, there are great consequences there. Not just the problem is not getting solved, but you build up antitrust or non-trust barriers between departments and between people.
Right.
So, and eventually, this will be partly manifested between the business and its clients. You can't prevent it. So the basis of the problem is very, very simple, but it requires a change, and you can change it overnight, honestly.
And it requires us to install the concept of trust or lack of trust into the urgency of this. Why would I do this? Why would I turn this in? Why would I ask for help? Because I want to install trust in this, because trust is powerful, trust is liberating, trust is profitable. Think about trust that way, folks. It's not just about Sunday school. Quick break, Tintail, right back with Dr. Archie Chankute. We're going to talk about the future of trust after the break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.